It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how. What happens when you are the leader and want to make sure AI is getting ingested by your organization and all your employees using it, but your employees maybe are not as excited? That's what we're going to be talking about today with Brian Sampson. He is a multi-time entrepreneur. He has a bunch of companies, and he is going to tell us what he's learned from attempting to include AI, some more successfully than others, inside of these organizations. He is built, his newest business is called Bandsaw.ai, which in and of itself is an AI business. So he's getting in, he is neck deep in it, and we're going to do some rapid fire case studies across his businesses. Brian Sampson, thanks so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
I am fired up to be here, Josh. Thanks.
Yeah, totally. So you have built and sold a number of businesses. You now run, I was trying to count, three, four businesses, some bigger than others, but it seems like you really got that entrepreneur thing down. Tell me a little bit about how you came to kind of be here in this moment, and then we'll quickly move right into what you're doing with AI.
Yeah, so just kind of rapid fire. This would be my 11th year as an entrepreneur, but was never an entrepreneur when I grew up. Didn't really know any entrepreneurs. Moved to San Francisco. I'm from the Midwest originally. Moved to San Francisco, where worked with a totally different type of entrepreneur. You know, venture capital funded, raised $10 million. Let's hire a bunch of people. And that was my role. I was the head of talent guy. So head of recruiting, going out there, sourcing, building companies. Then about, 10 plus years ago, I raised some money myself. So I raised about $2 million. So that was hard to get, but gives you a little bit of a different perspective when you are an entrepreneur, when you've got a little bit of capital. Mm-hmm. My business was actually a nearshoring business, which was the first real one that got me going. Grew that to about 85 people, and I lived in Buenos Aires, Argentina for the first year, and kind of saw the best and worst parts about, you know, building a business internationally. Mm-hmm. Tree-lined streets and steak dinners at a discount and lots of Malbec. And at the same time, Wild West inflation, impossibly vague rules on running a business, very employee-centric, so high taxes, you know, like you name it. So entrepreneurship on hard mode a little bit, but ended up, you know, growing that to over $4 million in revenue, did that two more times, you know, kind of a $0 to $4 million in revenue. And the biggest company I have today is called Plug Technologies, PLUGG. And we're closing in on 100 engineers that we basically contract out to U.S. companies. And they're looking for talent on the same time zone as them, you know, and reasonable discount, you know, versus onshore, and a lot easier to work with people in Latin America than it is to offshore, and somebody's working at 3 a.m. or the culture doesn't quite match.
We all have the pain point at this point. We all have firsthand experience. So let's start with Plug, since that's your biggest business and you just kind of talked about it. Tell us, I'm most interested in what, you know, how you start to think about how AI might help the business, and then what you've experienced in terms of success and failure, the pushback from the people, and how you're overcoming or not, right? Like totally, you know, good with the failures too. We want to learn from those.
Yeah. So we're a decent sized company today. Mm-hmm. But we're still fairly lean internally. So there's external staff, which really is our product because we're a contract recruiting
Yeah, the
business.
people are your product. Yep.
And but we have less than 10 people internally that make that happen. And just so everybody understands the context, recruiting company, international. So we've got like a sales leader, executive in the US. We have a couple of recruiters that are south of the border, operations people south of the border, and then some agencies that kind of support us. Like I've got a tax person and a finance
Sure,
person and a
sure.
marketing agency and all that. So we have to do what I think a lot of companies do. We have to pick the right customer, position ourselves correctly, market to them, understand our competition, make sure our offering's good, deliver on that offering, and then contracts, collections, invoices, all that
Yeah,
stuff,
all working on the business, right? Like getting
deliver
that.
the service, onboard our talent, make sure they stay, kind of check in, and then have a diverse customer base and
All
ensure
the stuff.
that we continue to grow.
I hope the punchline is you're gonna do all that with AI. What was where did you what did you first want to tackle? Like, what are you thinking?
So where I'm at is the business doesn't entirely run through me anymore, which is good. And I think because it's not my first rodeo, I could kind of organize the business pretty quickly where if your listeners are familiar with EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System,
Sure.
we're not like a rigid follower of that, but I like some of the mindset and I've read Traction. So I'm certainly the visionary in this world. I have the president of our business is the implementer, and he's a 30-year executive in the staffing world, brilliant at the day-to-day blocking and tackling, grinding of get a customer, move them through, get a rec, fill it, make some money,
Yeah.
move on to the next one.
That's
Just like
awesome.
this kind of factory, which puts me in a position where I can focus a lot more on kind of like founder brain type stuff,
Yeah.
and the way I might even think about it is I'm trying to be like 1 year ahead at all times. So I'm thinking like what's coming, what are the customers we want to attract next year? Do we have the infrastructure and the team? I should be out there as like the ambassador for Latin America, the ambassador for Plug. Like every year I'm trying to think of like what's next and position ourselves and make sure we have capital and all these things. So what's really been on my mind, I think, since like second half of 2024 was AI. And I think like the first, besides like the meeting minute stuff, like the Fireflies and the read.me, that was kind of an easy implementation. But I think like the first tool that kind of blew my mind was something called SendSpark. And it's a sales tool. And what you would do with that is you could record like a 30-second video and have this like big CSV file of 1,000 contacts. And you would say your thing, like your pitch, like, hey, I'm Brian, I'm the founder of Plug, and I want to tell you about Latin America talent, right? But you would say during the video, you would record it within the SendSpark platform, hey, watermelon, I'm Brian, I'm the founder of Plug, and I want to tell you about Latin America, why it's good for your business. So by saying watermelon, it synced it with this big CSV file of 1,000 contacts. So now that email goes to you, Josh, and you open it up, and it's like, "Hey, Josh, I'm Brian from Plug." So you think it's all personalized, you know, it's for you. It's this kind of quick video. And I
My
thought that
whole
was
life is a lie.
yeah. So you're like, man, Brian, that was so sweet of you to, you know,
Right,
request a
exactly.
personalized video. And you know, and I had seen it coming, you know, with this like it's so noisy out there with marketing content and the
Yeah,
emails,
yeah,
it's, you know,
yeah.
so low friction that was kind of interesting. And then we tried to roll it out to the team, but it didn't really take, you know, like there were people that were kind of tech savvy and those that weren't. And but it, you know, in the end, like some recorded a couple of videos and some didn't really, some liked the video, but they didn't like the automation part of it, you know, where you could do it multiple
Right.
times. So they would just do like use SendSpark to make like very personalized one video for one person. And it actually worked a couple times. Like we got a couple clients that way, but they were missing like the AI portion of it. So that was, I think that was like my first real like this is an interesting tool. This is an AI tool that I can get behind. We have a podcast, so we've got you know, 80 episodes today. It's called the Nearshore Cafe Podcast, and it's all about Latin America people doing business. So it's pretty niche, you know, like very specific about doing business in LATAM. And we started to use this podcast tool called Opus about a year or so ago, and it we used to do all the editing by hand. You know, we had like kind of a VA type person that would chop it up, cut it. And I still have that person, but now some of that cost is kind of absorbed, where they can do, you know, 5 episodes a month, but Opus does most of the podcast recording, we use Riverside to record, but Opus kind of takes this 45-minute podcast episode, automatically recommends, you know, the little snippets, the analysis, the blurb. It's all kind of ready to go. And I think there's like 10 to 12 that automatically happen, 10 to 12 snippets. So my podcast producer has a lot more time to like put it on our website, make it AEO friendly. So it's like an FAQ, it's much more searchable, it's designed for the Geminis of the world. You know, if you search in Google to get that quick description of, you know, what it is, it's all tagged much easier. So they're not, you know, like in whatever video Final Cut software, you know, like trying to edit it, you know, down to the minute. Opus just does that. So that person, you know, originally I was kind of worried, like, are they going to be anxious this is stealing their job? But it just took all the things that they were like so tedious. And you know, and I can be particular, like, hey, I'm not happy with this edit, you know, do this again. And Opus is doing it just fine. You know, it's probably 90% of what I want anyway. And they embraced it, you know, they loved it. And they could kind of spend their time more on distribution than the editing part.
So these are like what's interesting, and I wonder if this is the trend or the exception. And you've basically are saying that tool I'm going to use for this, and it's a because you're a small business and you're like, I'm just going to use like you said, right? So it's like I use Grain, you use Reed, whatever it is. That's easy, right? Just like plug and play, and it's going to show up on everybody's computer. Perfect, fine. The thing that I'm interested in is what you're saying about your sales folks using this in an incomplete way, or maybe not using it at all. Can you talk a little bit about the conversations? Like, I'm not, you know, maybe you've succeeded, maybe you haven't, but like, do you understand why something that, you know, it's like, you're like, look how much more you're going to get done. And they're like, I don't know. Like, what is the pushback? What have you heard? Like, let's try to like think through or identify some patterns around why someone wouldn't want something that's going to help you, right?
You know, I think that might be part of that might, I mean, even to be honest, even like the read.me, like the note-taking apps, I've got people on the team that are like, get that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I want my notebook. I've been a notebook person for 10 years.
They don't even want it when it doesn't cost them. Like, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. So, but I think in my role, I also like, I'm not knee deep in like candidate phone screens. I'm not knee deep in client calls. I'm kind of out of the day to day.
Yeah.
So to me, like, I don't see the cost of anything. I see the financial cost, but I don't see the cost of the actual.
Yeah.
So there's some, maybe some like change management things that I could do better to convey, like, how this is really going to change your life. But yeah, you know, I think most people are generally like open, because it's also coming from me, like founder, owner, person
better,
that's
better pick up the phone. Brian's calling.
You know, person that signs their paychecks. But at the same time, they also know that I care just as much about results and are they producing and being a multiple on the seat that they occupy. And so I think they probably have a little bit of a push pull on them of, you know, I want to try this stuff, but I also realize there's going to be a ramp up time. I need to make money today too.
I see. So they're not willing to sacrifice the kind of immediate benefit for the long-term benefit.
Yeah, I think so.
Or they don't understand, maybe. Or, I mean, I guess if that were the clear situation, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't, you know, the way that I would approach it is, hey, this week we're going to suspend your, you know, your quotas, right? If that's the way you're working, and so that you can learn this and learn how to do it and really understand. I'm just, you know, I'm just interested, like, where is this all going? I'm also thinking like, what happens when it gets adopted? What happens, you know, it's like, what's happening next? And we're kind of, you and I are having a conversation about like the very edge of what's happening. Tell me, okay, so you have a couple other smaller businesses, a locksmith, a cleaning company, and you're also asking the question, how might we use AI in these very like service-oriented, people-oriented businesses, which are the ones that the kind of the story out there is going to be protected from AI, right? That's which is, I think, is, I don't know that it's necessarily exactly relevant, but it does make an interesting tension. So tell us a little bit about what you're thinking for each of these businesses and how the folks that are managing it are doing. Adopting, not adopting, willing to experiment, giving you the finger.
Sure. Yeah. So to give some context, you know, Plug is kind of a nationwide business, but CleanScape and Keymasters are my home services companies. I live in Oahu, Hawaii, and that's where these businesses are. And Oahu is a little bit of a unique market. I'd say it's not the most technologically savvy market.
Yeah, for sure.
There's really no like, there's a very small tech community. There's no Fortune 500s. You've got an enormous amount of small family businesses that might not even have a website, you know, or like a Yelp or anything. You know, they just, you know, kind of operate and, you know, they're a plumber or they own a little restaurant and
that's it.
You know, that's how they do it. So, you know, kind of like, neither of these were startup businesses for me. I found an existing business that had a operator that was really good at what they did, but like a lot of small home services companies, they kind of lacked capital and maybe a little bit of business strategy, and just kind of needed some of the basics. So for a lot of these companies, like, we had to get the basics down first, which was, let's get a website, let's make sure we answer the phone, Let's have a way to do an online quote. Let's do digital payments. We can take credit cards, because surprisingly, a lot of these businesses on Oahu were, still doing physical paper checks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we had to start there. Like we couldn't just leapfrog from
Of
zero
course.
to AI, right? We had to get some of the basics in. But I'll give you an example of something we're doing for the locksmith company. So I've got a lead locksmith, and the number on the website automatically rings to him. And as a locksmith, he's mobile. So a lot of our business, especially Oahu, it's like tourists coming to Hawaii, and they have a lockout, right? Like they lock their keys in the rental car or something like that. And you'd be surprised, how often that happens.
No, I'm not. I've done it myself a bunch.
And we kind of own part of the island, and there's Honolulu and Waikiki, and there's like four or five major locksmiths. But there's the west side of the island. So like the North Shore, Central, West Side, we're kind of the go-to. But that's a big area. So if you only serviced Waikiki, that's like a 3 mile stretch. You're just kind of back and forth. The whole, west, north,
Yeah,
there's a
it's
lot
a
of ground
much
to
bigger
cover.
drive.
Yeah.
Much
So a
more
lot of
doable.
times, we don't necessarily want our locksmiths like taking notes while they're driving. Or if they're in the middle of the job, it's kind of rude and unprofessional to like, hold on, the person I'm helping right here in person, let me take a call for another customer. But we needed a solution, and there is a lot of like off the shelf type stuff, but we've got this other company that I have called Bandsol.ai, and this was kind of a the thesis was, we have all these companies, and I'll talk about what we did for the locksmith company. Is we've got all of our own subscriptions to tools like N8N, which is like the Zapier of the AI world, and easy to connect a lot of different tools. You can connect your Claude Code and Lovable and Gemini and OpenAI and all these different things. So we built our own customized receptionist, and and Hawaii is also kind of interesting, because you don't want to trust AI to read all the street names in Hawaii, because there's a million K's in every
It's
name.
gonna get, it's gonna get, yeah.
Yeah, so we've kind of chopped up the, but we could do the super customizable. So we chopped up the answering. So now when our lead locksmith, can answer, which now is a lot more, they're we're a lot more comfortable just letting the call ring through. Because, hey, you're driving. We don't want to put you at risk. And then it, answers, hey, thanks for calling Keymasters. But right away, this is an AI assistant,
All right, so you're calling it out.
but don't worry, our locksmith will call you back momentarily. I just need 90 seconds of your time. Let me just take down some quick information. So right away, it tells, this is the phone number we have. Is this the correct number? It gains some quick credibility. Tell me your name, and then it uses your name, through the rest of the call. Is this a car lockout? Yes. Give us the general vicinity of the island. Are you central, north, west? Instead of all the, are you on, Kamehameha Avenue? Instead of the AI would probably say, are you on Kabamame? Like it would
And it's
sound.
an and it's a tourist anyways, right? So
Yeah, yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
matter.
So like, yeah, I'm on the North Shore, and that's kind of easy for the locksmith to understand. Make, model, year of your vehicle. Are you in danger? Is the car locked? Are the keys locked in the car? And then, calls over. Great. The AI kind of recaps it really quickly, sends a text message confirmation right away. So the person's like, phew, they took down all my information. I feel good. And then, 5 minutes later, when that locksmith is available, they call, "Hey, this is all the information I have." But it also gives the locksmith the ability to get the actual address and give the exact quote. So we're not yet in a position where we want the AI to do quotes because there's a lot of free flowing, with these
Human
types of jobs.
judgment.
Yeah, we need some human judgment. So our locksmith was my partner, our lead locksmith, was very open to trying this, but he also had a lot of feedback on the script, like cut this, why would we ask this, change this. Honestly, no one, because a locksmith is also doing rekeys on a home or a commercial property, but like that's not a high priority. It's really lockouts, kind of need that urgent, text. People that need, like, we've worked with big businesses like Costco or Home Depot out here, as customers, and they can wait a day to do this big
Yeah,
re
sure.
at
You
their
can schedule
store.
it.
Yeah, they can go through the website and like a proper channel. But people that are calling, so we kind of cut all the bloat out of the script.
And was that what he identified?
That's right. Yeah, he identified
Yeah.
a lot of the bloat. Yeah.
So it's almost like customer research, but it's the frontline research.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how does he get the information? Does it get sent to him in a text? Hey, this call came
Does.
through. Here's ba 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 ba. Call it back. I've got it on the screen in front of me. Hey, Steven, this is a,
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. So pretty easy for him. It sounds like that's working out. Aside from not being rude and not risking their, when they're driving, risking having an accident, what other benefits are you getting? Because there is that you're not reducing the customer experience, right? So it's like, I'm going to confirm with you. So you've done all the things that technology can be weak at. But what is the benefit of having done that now?
Yeah, so before we would miss calls, and if you've ever needed something urgently and no one picks up, you're calling the next business,
Okay.
right?
Great.
So now we've captured the information. There's very low call drop off, so people understand like it's an AI agent, but they hear right away someone will call you back, and you'll get this text confirmation. You're not going to be talking to this agent for 20 minutes, right? It's going to be cold. So people are generally giving grace to the process. They're talking to the AI agent for a short period of time. And because they get that text confirmation, I don't think they feel this urge to call three more locksmiths,
All right,
right?
so you're going to miss fewer calls, which means gain more customers. You're going to be able
Yeah.
to service more customers. So there's sort of this parallel path. Any
That's right.
other, any other, I mean, is that kind of the primary? Is there anything else that you were not expecting that you actually benefited from by implementing something like this?
No, I think that's the gist of
That
the
was the idea. You kind of like came in and you were like, okay, now that we take credit cards,
Yeah.
let's see what else.
Yeah.
Did you have to do like a ride along, or like how did you discover that this was the thing that you wanted to focus on? Right?
The
Like needs discovery, I guess is what you would call it.
Oh, you mean that we wanted to do the receptionist?
Right?
Yeah, because we're, a small business, you have limited resources. What do we want to spend our capital on? And do we want to spend it on ads, or do we want to spend it on a real person dispatcher? And this takes like 90% of what we would pay a real person dispatcher for. And but the AI, I mean, this is kind of a repetitive thing we're hearing, but the AI doesn't take vacation. AI doesn't call in sick. It just answers the phone all the time. And even in the middle of the night, if we, or let's say, our locksmith is busy and it's Christmas morning and they don't want to deal with it, right? It answers the phone and gives us the ability to still decline the work if we don't want to.
How, so this leads me to another question, which is, How does a business owner, visionary or operator, figure out where to start pointing AI, right? Because it's like everybody, I do feel, and I've heard a few stories where it's like, yeah, we've upgraded. You can now use Gemini, and everybody's going, all right, I can summarize my emails. What else? It's like, meh. And I feel
Sure.
like the step that's missing is, what do we actually want it to fucking do? So what, like, you've done this a few times, like, how do you, like, do you look for a problem and then say, does AI solve it? What is your process?
That's a really good point because I also it's also helped me realize my own limitations as an entrepreneur because being a visionary means that I'm pretty good at looking at patterns. I'm pretty good at like seeing what's missing in the market, how to best use my capital, how to get a return. But I'm not a process guy. I often like really suck at having everything in like a clear, defined step by step by step. So it's really kind of pushed me, and I still personally don't do this, but it's kind of pushed me to make sure the team has much more documentation and they're really clear on, what these workflows are. But to your overall question, because I'm not in the day-to-day, I take more chances and I'm almost like the guinea pig in a lot of these cases for the team. So I realized that we had this for Plug, realized we had this podcast where now we've got Opus, we've got 500 clips. So we built like a very automatic LinkedIn, and I knew as the face of the business, and I'm the host of my podcast and the founder of Plug, and so I'm naturally the face, public face. So, but I was kind of stressed. Like I knew I needed to post on LinkedIn. I knew I needed to get a lot of stuff out there as a thought leader. Every once in a while I have a good week where like three or four great ideas come to mind. But, most of the time I'm like
My
everybody else,
God,
like,
I feel you.
I kind of feel paralyzed. Like
I don't know. You're
I
like,
don't have anything like super brilliant and, and you almost like you're kind of kaputing it before it gets off the ground. And so we knew we had all this content in this database. We didn't have it organized. So we used AI to organize all this content into an Airtable. So now we've got 500 categorized clips. And the outcome is now when I wake up, it's set to come to me at 6 o'clock in the morning, my time. So I'm kind of like up before I'm getting all my, I've got two young kids before we get through the chaos. And in three clicks, I get a post out the door that's still getting thousands of impressions. And I'm basically clicking based on how we organize the content. Do I want to post about, North America or Latin America? Do I want to post about, somebody from a CEO or an engineer or an investor perspective? And then it serves, like all the potential videos. And then I just pick the video, blast, like it's all linked, it's all posted, it's all connected. And that's it. Like that's my post for the day. And I still have the freedom to do like another post later. And we also ended up connecting it to our website. So it's got all the blogs, it's got access to the services, our about us, our case studies.
So it'll
So
insert that in the a link in the post,
I could
the
also,
appropriate
post
thing.
about a case study too if I wanted to, if I didn't just want to do a video. But that I think was a really good use case. But also, we set it up for the team to be able to post this as well, because it's just a matter of adding another user. Who do you want to post this linked into? But I'm still the primary user of this.
Well, so to my original question, you and I find this as well, right? Where it's like, and you've talked about this before, like it's proximity that allows you to understand what the need is. So in this case, you're the user with the need. You're like, this is stressful. In the case of the locksmith, it was your conversations in conversation with the person who is both, you know, doing kind of most of the work, that's kind of where you identify it. And to me, what this is, I think, revealing is we have, you know, there's an entire industry, and I have friends that are part of it, of like user research, or like the user research, but inside the organization. And the conversations I've had previously on the podcast with folks, it's like, what are the things that are most automatable? What is a repetitive task? But I think this is revealing something else, which is, it's not just, I mean, yes, that's part of it, but you're not, you know, it's like, I guess you could ask that of your, you know, head locksmith, but it's really like learning what it is that they're doing that could be, you know, how could they spend their time better? How do you take off the kind of the things that are distracting from the key value of their work?
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, we tried to do something similar for my cleaning company. So the thing is, I have yet to go on a cleaning job. You know, I'm a owner, make sure we do digital payments, website, organize payroll, pay our taxes, all that. But my partner, you know, is the field general. She's leading the cleaning crews as we go out. And so I don't know a whole lot about our process, or
you
like,
don't have that knowledge inherent, right? Like,
don't
you
have
don't
the
have
domain
that, like, that pain point of like, crap, I gotta post to LinkedIn. Okay, so how did that go or not go?
So we tried to do this on Facebook and Instagram, and I was so excited to tell my partner in the business, the lead cleaner, hey, check out the social media, check out the Facebook, Instagram, you know, what do you think? And she kind of groans, like, you know, it looks too AI. It's not really what we do. And then I realized, like, this is going to take a while to like kind of download her brain first. Because we can't just throw it the Gemini and give cleaning tips. You know, we had to make it way more personalized and deeper domain knowledge. So that's still a work in progress.
I love that. I appreciate you being so candid about that. All right, let's wrap this up. And I want to hear, so you've basically, because of all of these experiments, you led you to build Bandsaw. And this is where you're essentially taking those experiments and polishing them up. And now you can provide these to other people. What do you think? You've done a few of these now. You have a few agents up there that you can then resell. Where is this headed? Like, when we're thinking about, clearly you're building for small businesses, I'm guessing, right? This is who you are, right? Write what you know.
Yeah.
So you're building for small businesses. Do you have a guess as far as like where, like, do you see any patterns emerging, or guesses around kind of where, like, what the behavior of the market might be, or where the agents are going? What's the most used agent? What's going to sell best?
Totally. Yeah. We've got a lot of thoughts on that. So I think there's like, if we were to productize some of these services, I think for more of the white collar businesses like Plug, LinkedIn automation works, because these founders often have a lot of content. They just don't know how to organize it and
post it,
right?
Yeah.
So you're
pointing directly at me. So I feel that too. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, oh crap, another LinkedIn post. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So that's kind of like an easy sell, more or less. I think the customer service agents and like implementing chatbots and things like that, that's also easy, you know, once we start to scrape the web and the domain knowledge of that business. Every service business needs leads and sales. So for that, it's just a matter of like, we will never know your customer or prospect as well as you, but we can build the plumbing to make it super automated and very customized. I think there's a million like marketing tools like Apollo out there, but these all have limitations because they're kind of built for thousands of different companies, right? So it it always feels like you're kind of, you know, is this like a one size fits all? Does it really understand the sequencing and the messaging and how to do that? So we build the plumbing for that. But I think the kind of at large offering that I see this going is I think there's a lot of founders like me that want to try stuff, but we either A, don't have the time to experiment all day, or B, just want to like know what's going on, what's out there in the market. So there's almost like a AI guy service, like we'll be your AI guy, you know, and do a presentation once a month for you and whoever else in your company of like macro trends, what's going on, micro trends, like what are the tools that are applicable to your business, and kind of a à la carte buffet of you want to try these three next month, let's do it. These two don't make sense, all good. And then sell in addition, just like a small package of hours that you can allocate, you know, to solve problems of the day. I think that's probably the package that makes the most sense for a lot of small businesses.
Yeah, that kind of feels right. That kind of feels interesting to me. And it's almost like you could either price it. Now we're getting into kind of small business physics, but it's like you can either, price it at cheap and it's a membership. I know somebody who's like that is their main job, trend hunting, and it's essentially they built a community around that. Or it's a free thing, right? Like that just comes in and then it's like, oh, do you need this? Then, it's a magnet, right? So, or anything in between. That is really, really interesting. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up there. Brian Sampson of bandsaw.ai and plug.tech. I appreciate this. So many interesting ideas coming out, and I love the roughness of it because it really feels like you're like, yeah, we're like, this is like the, we don't know what's happening either. It makes me feel a little better. It's like, oh my God, I'm behind. But you're like, I'm implementing this, and some of it's like just not working at all. So you're here for experimentation and prototypes, I suppose. Brian Sampson, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio. It was really, really informative talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.